This podcast is brought to you by The Oxford Club.
Start feeling secure about your life savings and investments today by watching O'Reilly's Great American Wealth Project.
Go to HowieCarshow.com
and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
You remember Michael Cohen. He was a lawyer in New York. He was once the president's lawyer. And among Michael Cohen's close personal friends is an anchor on the cable news network. That man's name is Christopher Charles Cuomo. We have an audio tape of a conversation between the two men.
Guys calling and saying, I heard he was the Charlie Rose of ABC. Do I look like the kind of guy who's got to do that?
I lift things up and put them down.
And you know what makes him maddest of all? The suggestion that he's got to act like some old guy, Charlie Rose, to get the ladies. Open bathrobes are for losers. Chris Cuomo is not a loser.
I lift things up and put them down.
Live from the Matthews Brothers studios.
When leaders, let's say in the Muslim world.
This is not going to end well.
Encourage their supporters to be willing to commit violence. Well, that's how we talk about the way Muslims act.
We lost Joy's shot. We're going to bring it back in just a moment.
I want to apologize for the gremlins. Hopefully the gremlins won't get us. We're having some gremlins from the dark shadows who are messing with us tonight.
Gremlins. Oh, murder.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Why did you ask for a drug test before the debate?
Because I watched Biden in the previous debates and he was horrible. And I watched him in the Bernie debate and he was normal. He wasn't Winston Churchill, but he was normal.
Why because the drug test? What do you think he's on?
I'll tell you, he's on some kind of an enhancement, in my opinion.
Five sheets of high-powered blotter acid. A whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers.
Unchained and unstoppable.
What's the president doing? But look, Venezuela's top line message is President Trump's policy is an abject failure. Top line message, top line message, top line message.
Damn it, for the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Gremlins. I used to have a gremlin. Boy, that was a rotten car. American Motors. They had a gas cap that had a gremlin on it. Kept getting stolen off my car. I wish they'd stolen the whole car and left the gas cap. It was the only thing valuable on the car. I finally had to go down and get a nondescript gas cap to replace. I was tired of spending $20-$30 to every. That's my memory of gremlins. All right, we got some VIPs here today. Thanks for coming in, guys. And the VIPs still available. You can order them at the Howie Carr Show. Anthony and Kim are celebrating their 18th anniversary today. Give yourselves a round of applause. And Brian's from Maine, and he wants to wish a happy 104th birthday to his grandma, Louise Griffin, formerly of Auburn, Maine, now of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. That's great. Thank you. Thanks, guys. All right. Joining us now on the line, he hadn't been with us for a while, Todd Lyons. He's the field office director of Immigration Customs Enforcement in Boston, ERO. And they've got a couple of big news items involving ICE here in Boston. Todd, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Talk to you again.
Yeah. So you got first. Let's talk about the 128 arrests recently in the six state New England area. What did you get? Who did you get? Who'd you take off the streets?
Well, it was a part of a national operation we did kind of after the pandemic hit. We kind of got settled in and making sure that we were able to still do our job, protect our folks safely. We realized that, you know, with everyone being stuck at home, quarantining, there was a rise in sex offenses, domestic violence calls, assaults. So nationwide, all the 24 ICE field offices focused on crimes that involved some type of assault. And here in Massachusetts, we were able to get 128, criminal aliens that were involved in some type of crimes. And, you know, just some of the crimes were sex offenses, kidnapping, rape, statutory rape, sexual assault, lewd lascivious acts on a minor, sexual exploitation of a minor. So I think this operation, although the number isn't as big as we mostly get, I think it shows that, you know, the men and women of ICE here, especially in Boston, are focused on removing the worst of the worst out of our communities.
Yeah, I know they keep saying that you're just ripping these families apart, but in fact, most of these people or all of these people that you're taking off the street have ripped families apart themselves, and it's just And if they remained here in the United States, where they have no legal business remaining, they would damage even more families, aliens, legal aliens, illegal aliens, and citizens as well, right?
Right, 100%. And, you know, like one of the cases we highlighted in our press release was a El Salvador man out of Saugus that had been convicted of indecent assault on a child under 14, enticing a child under 16 on the internet. And, you know, he got sentenced to 2 years probation, but with the lack of cooperation from some state agencies as well as local law enforcement, this person was let back into the community just to go ahead and prey back upon people of Saugus or some other community where he could take a fake name, false identity, and blend right in, and then ICE would never be able to touch him again.
2 years probation? That's amazing. What would happen if an American citizen committed those kinds of crimes? I would say that it'd be a better than even chance he'd end up doing some jail time or prison time, right?
You know, Howie, that's one thing that we, you know, although, like I said, our numbers are smaller this time around. Last year, in the fiscal year 19, ICE was able to deport 17,000 sexual offenders, which to me is that's we just saved 17,000 people from that person reoffending once they're released back into a lot of these communities, especially ones that do have policies like sanctuary policies or safe communities, where that lack of cooperation with us and local law enforcement puts these predators right back out on the street.
Wow. Yeah, there's another thing I want to ask you about. You got a major win in federal district court, or federal court, anyway, federal appeals court, the First Circuit. Federal ICE agents should be allowed to operate in state courthouses, the First Circuit Court ruled in a major win for immigration agents. The case now heads back to U.S. District Court in Boston, where all sides will once again square off, where ICE officers can track down illegal aliens. And, of course, the DAs of Suffolk and Middlesex, Rachel Rollins and Marion Ryan, they've been trying to keep you out of the courthouses. But I'm really happy that you won this case. Were you surprised or were you expecting to win?
No, actually, just given the climate, just with ICE and law enforcement in general across the U.S., it did come as a shock to us. Of course, we are going back to the lower court, so it's still pending litigation. However, I think this shows that there is a good chance that local law enforcement and federal agencies can work together to rid, you know, the communities of a lot of these really bad actors. And I think this decision kind of leans to across all the nation, where other field officers like New York and Philadelphia are dealing with the same type of litigation. And our biggest thing all along is that we just want a chance to arrest these individuals that are causing harm in someone's community in the Commonwealth in a safe environment that's safe to my officers and agents, as well as safe to people that are out in, you know, Chelsea, Charlestown, Boston. We just want the chance to take that person into custody, because at the end of the day, whether they've been arrested for a sex crime or some other underlying crime, they're still violated a federal law, and that still needs to be addressed.
Now, have you been stopped from picking up people? Or I mean, the courts are sort of closed down now. They're doing all these virtual hearings from jail. Is it easier for you to pick them up at the jails, or are you stopped from, in Massachusetts here, are you stopped from picking them up at the jails as well? Or does it just depend on the sheriff or the district, or does it depend on the DA? What's the deal?
No, a lot of agencies still cooperate with us, Howie. I think right now, especially during the pandemic, one thing we had to look at for all, you know, federal law enforcement officers as well is the fact of safety on top of the job we're doing, right? So we're having to go ahead, and there's a lot of litigation where some of the House of Corrections were locked down, not only to us, but to new intakes, just because of any type of outbreak or a case that COVID might be spreading.
Right.
So I think what this did was it gave us an opportunity to kind of look at our resources and really narrow down on the worst of the worst. And I think it's really working, because I think we've seen an uptick in a lot of calls for, you know, when I say a call for service, whether it be another agency calling us saying, hey, we just arrested this person, we need help identifying them, or, you know, hey, can you come and help us because this individual won't give us their right name. I think one part of the pandemic is showing that we're a vital part of the law enforcement piece in the state of Massachusetts and New England. And I think if anything out of this, and especially this ruling and this operation, it's showing that we can actually make a positive impact by going after these worst of the worst offenders.
Yeah, you know, James Scott sent me a case that you guys had picked up, a Brazilian. I think he was up on the North Shore, and he was running a detailing company, and he claimed he'd made $8 million last year. And, you know, he said, I'm a taxpayer and all this. He was also had domestic abuse charges on his record. And the thing that really got me was he sent me the complaint on this illegal. He's now gone, the Brazilian. This was a couple of months ago. The guy, when you guys or whoever arrested him, they found a voter ID card for him. He was a registered Democrat up in Essex County. You know, and people say that this isn't going on, but it is going on. I have it in my files here. I just haven't gotten around to writing about it yet. An illegal alien who's a registered Democrat in Essex County.
Well, you know, Howie, luckily you and a few other outlets have given us the opportunity to highlight the great work that my folks did in this operation. But there have been two other stories recently that really didn't rise to the attention of a lot of media outlets. The first one was the individual arrested out in Stowe, Massachusetts, with Andy Lelling, the U.S. attorney here, his crew prosecuted for being previously deported. But he was charged with homicide because he was dealing fentanyl and heroin. And the person that overdosed, he was this illegal alien who'd been deported three times. He was the last person he called who sold him that drugs. Luckily, a local police department cooperated us to turn it over to us. We were able to prosecute him. The other one was the IRA terrorist bomber.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Go ahead. Tell us.
We finally were able to deport him after many, many people lobbying for him on his behalf since he had served his time in Northern Ireland. The part that everyone kind of missed was as soon as he got back to Northern Ireland, he faced sexual offense charges for sexual assault of minors, which he had been dodging since 1992 and 1993. So, I mean, not only are we, you know, giving justice for people here in the United States, but when we do remove some of these criminals that are hiding here in plain sight among us, we're getting justice for those victims back in their home countries.
People want me to ask you about Shelley Joseph. I don't know how much you can say about that. She's been complaining about you being on this show, or her lawyers have been complaining about it. Can you say anything about Shelley Joseph, the suspended Newton District Court judge? Suspended with pay, by the way.
No, I think if I say any more, I'll be a suspended field officer.
I understand, Todd. I just wanted to ask you, though. But I'm glad you're back, and you can come back anytime. And we love hearing from you, and you're doing a great job under adverse conditions with COVID and the political climate. But thank you very much, Todd, for being with us, and thanks for the job you and all your guys and women are doing for us. We appreciate it. Thank you, Todd. If you haven't tried Superbeat soft chews, you're really missing out. If you need a burst of energy in the morning or when you go to work, Superbeat soft chews are perfect. They're good for your circulation. They're good for your blood pressure, and they give you a burst of energy. They're wrapped up like little candies, but they're good for you. They're great for you. They're not full of sugar, but they taste great. They taste like candy, but they're almost like a real pick-me-up. Joe Biden could use a few Superbeet soft chews, I'll tell you. Superbeet soft chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. You'll get into the habit of taking them at a certain time, probably. I take mine in the morning before I even have a first cup of coffee, and then I put one in my pocket and take it to work, and I have it before I go on the show here. But it's great. It's a good burst of energy, and it's... You know, you don't get jittery like with caffeine, and it's not bad for you like sugar. Do what I did. Support your heart health with delicious Superbeets Chews. Get your Superbeets Chews today at superbeetsradio.com/Howie. When you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's superbeetsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
They call him the Trash Man, but we'll call him Captain Howie Carr. We'll be right back.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Our movement is for truth, freedom, and health. But we're witnessing election fraud. And God save us, we have the Second Amendment. That's pretty much what I have to say, unless everyone wants to add anything. So, Kevin O'Connor, Charlie Baker.
So that was your gracious opponent, Kevin O'Connor, as he conceded the election last night. I never heard anything like that.
Well, Howie, believe it or not, I'm still waiting for his call.
That was a great victory you pulled out last night. He spent a lot of dough, and he was on TV before you were. Not that TV means what it used to, but congratulations. What was your first day like as the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate, Kevin O'Connor?
It was excellent. I went up to Malden in front of the police station, and I had a press conference with Ed Markey's neighbor, who was a police officer, who was there. Because Ed Markey cannot look his cop, neighbor, and lifelong friend in the eye anymore.
Because really?
Ed Markey, oh, totally. He's turned his back on the police. He's a total defund the police guy, and he can't even look his neighbor in the eye.
Well, I would, if I were you, you know, Ed King, do you remember Ed King when he ran for governor the first time in 1978? And they would ask him any question, and he would say, that's a great question. I'm going to answer that as soon as I'm elected. But first of all, you have to remember, and then he would list his litany of things that he was for and against. And if I you ought to just stick just to the cops, you know, just talk about defunding the police and public safety. That's a great question, so-and-so. But you know what? My opponent wants to defund the police, or my opponent is in with AOC, and she wants to shut down all commercial air flight. She wants to ban hamburgers, you know?
Totally. Well, and their view on the defunding the police, that's a window into their thinking on every issue.
Yeah. Expound on that, Kevin.
Well, they have no interest in common sense. Everything is ideological. They don't care about safety. They don't care about good jobs, and they don't care about liberty. That's the bottom line. And that defunding the police, anyone with common sense knows that defunding the police will lead to more rioting, more looting, less safe streets, and an unsafe Massachusetts. It's terrible for us. And that thinking, that's the same lack of clarity of thought and misguided ideology that takes us to the Green New Deal and all the other ridiculous positions that he's taken over the years.
You know, you got an opportunity. You look at that map of the towns that that Joe Kennedy carried as opposed to Ed Markey, and he carried a lot of those working class communities in Bristol County, Worcester County, and those are the same places that Gabriel Gomez carried when he ran against Ed Markey back the first time Ed Markey ran. You know, I mean, Ed Markey is not that popular among people who actually work for a living.
Totally. I think 800,000 people voted for someone other than Ed Markey yesterday. So the majority. And any Kennedy Democrat has now seen his or her party become the party of AOC instead of JFK.
Oh, I like that. That's a good line. You should repeat that one.
Yeah. Over and over. They want a candidate. I'm their guy.
Yeah. JFK believed that a rising tide lifts all boats, meaning he was for tax cuts. Ed Markey is a member of the AOC Joe Biden wing. Joe Biden is on the record as saying he wants to raise your taxes. And Bernie Sanders, he's sold out to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie Sanders wants a wealth tax. And a wealth tax is not, as we know, is not just for billionaires. It's, if you think so, you're going to be a billionaire very shortly. Everybody's going to be a billionaire, you know? If you got $1,000, they're going to want 100 of it every year. All right, Kevin, we'll be talking to you. Where can people go if they want to learn more about your campaign?
KOCforSenate.com. It's the opposite of AOC.
Oh, I like that. You're doing well, Kevin. I like these lines. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
And again, we have a few gift certificates left to the Villa in Wayland. It's a great restaurant, $50 gift certificates for $25. If you're looking for good eats to take out or to come in and, we're sold out. I'm sorry. Why didn't you tell me, Taylor? Come on.
Why didn't you ask me, Howie?
Sorry about that. Okay. Go to the Villa anyway, and they'll be back anyway. And also, it's the end of an era. This is the other end of an era, not just Gene Smith dying. That was the end of an era, but this is another end of the era in the Kennedy tradition. The first time a Kennedy has ever lost an election in Massachusetts. They lost one primary, Bobby Kennedy, but that doesn't really count. That was presidential. This is an actual attempt to get elected. So we're selling Kennedy Babylon volumes 1 and 2. Go to HowieCarshow.com, click on store. You can get that. It's a $39 value for $14.95. And also, when you go to HowieCarshow.com, you can read my column about the end of an era. It's my column from the Herald today, expanded into some of the state rep races and some of the, I looked at the actual towns. It's very interesting to look at the municipal returns, and you see where the Kennedy votes are and where the Markey votes are. Markey got all the high-end, upper-income, lily-white neighborhoods and towns, all the Bosque Dells, as they say sometimes. And Joe Kennedy got a lot of the cities, except Boston, and he also got all these working-class areas, which are Donald Trump towns, and also they were Gabriel Gomez towns. For the general election when Markey was first elected to the Senate. And they're also the same towns that voted for Steve Lynch when Steve Lynch was running against Ed Markey in the Democrat primary in the special election that he got elected to. So Markey, you know, Markey always, I'm the son of a milkman and I'm from Malden and all this stuff. But the average guy who works for a living looks at Ed Markey and says, No. They'd rather vote for a Kennedy than a Markey. Unfortunately, there aren't that many of us in this state as there used to be, and there are more of them than there are of us. Anyway, though, I wanted to just play a couple of Shiva's cuts before we go back to the phones at 844-500-4242. Let's say if you want to talk about what happened. This is Shiva who lost, and he thought he was going to win, apparently, and he's a sore loser. I mean, there's no other way to describe it other than that he's a sore loser. Here, we'll just go down the list of cuts here. This is what he's talking about. He's basically claiming the election was stolen from him. Cut 13.
I'm telling you, we're living in a freaking third world country. That's why this state is F-minus-minus infrastructure. There's a reason that the founders put the Second Amendment there. And I'm not saying this in any alarmist way, but we're watching tonight election fraud taking place.
He hasn't, I don't think, called the U.S. attorney any more than he's called Kevin O'Connor to concede the election about if he knows where the election fraud is. And that's going to be a recurring theme, the Second Amendment. And so he did mention Charlie Baker's son, cut 14.
Charlie Baker, the governor, the corrupt governor, whose son molested a woman on an airplane, and we never heard about it again, right? Hidden.
Well, even a broken clock is right twice a day, right? On the other hand, here he is going after me and Jeff Cooner, the morning guy on WRKO, cut 15.
And Jeff Cooner, scumbags like him, set up Mark.
Mark Fisher.
People like Howie Carr set up Mark Fisher. These people are the not-so-obvious establishment of the white working class, just like Bernie Sanders and Al Sharpton, the not-so-obvious establishment of the left and the so-called, and black people.
I am so not so obvious that I didn't even know I was the not so obvious establishment of the white working class. Go figure. I didn't get a W-2 or a 1099 from them last year. How come I didn't get any money? How come I didn't get paid? for my job as the not so subtle establishment of the white working class. Okay, so now we're back to the third world country. Cut 16.
So I think the most important thing that we get out of tonight that we need to recognize is that Massachusetts has in fact devolved into a complete third world country. That's what we should take away.
And here comes the really, we just played this for Kevin O'Connor, but you should listen. People say, how come you never talked about Shiva in the campaign? I think this will sum up why I didn't talk much about Shiva in the campaign. Cut 17.
Our movement is for truth, freedom, and health, but we're witnessing election fraud, and God save us, we have the Second Amendment. That's pretty much what I have to say, unless everyone wants to add anything. So, Kevin O'Connor, Charlie Baker, screw all these guys, because they're all frauds. They've never worked a day in their life, and screw them.
And we've come a long way from Dick Tuck, the defeated candidate in California. And what was the most memorable thing was ever said in bad taste, but just humorously. He said, when he lost the election, the voters have spoken. Damn them. I think Shiva upped the ante a little bit last night. All right. But I can't remember. What is that amendment that we have, Shiva, that to fall back on? Cut 19?
We have the infrastructure now. We got volunteers in every county. We have 351,000 groups. People are ready. And if necessary, we got the Second Amendment, okay?
Okay. Okay. All right.
What does he have, a militia ready to go?
He says he has 351,000 groups. That's a lot of groups, man. It's a lot. Even if you got just one person in each group, that's like over a quarter of a million people. Wow. All right. Now, speaking of numbers, it's always good when Joe Biden goes back to the numbers. So before we're going to take some calls here, but I want to go with some numbers. If you're not in your car, get out your pen because you want to write some of these numbers down. Okay. Cut 47.
Look what's happened in this COVID crisis so far. 100,000 people have died who were above the age of 65. 100,000 out of the 200 and some that have died, or not 200 and some yet, it's 189 or whatever it is now.
You got that? We're going to have a quiz on that later on. Steve from Cambridge, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, I want to know why you spent the whole election cycle mocking Joe Kennedy. When his opponent, who is endorsed by AOC and is essentially part of the squad, and Joe Kennedy, his only crime was being a Kennedy. I disagree with his public policy just as I disagree with Markey's, but at least he was more civil than Markey has been. And yet you spent the whole election cycle making fun of Joe Kennedy. Why is that?
Well, I would just say in my defense, Steve, I also made a lot of fun of Ed Markey, didn't I? I'm the one who named him Mr. Frosty. I'm the one who gave him crap about saying that the Twin Drive-In was still open after it had been closed for 50 years, aren't I? I mean, and again, Steve, you know, Joe Kennedy, like you said, was nothing to write home about. He campaigned with this woman, Monica Cannon Grant, who said all those vile, horrible things about Rayla Campbell, right?
Well, I got to give you credit for that, but, you know, how you could make fun of someone who at least was not endorsed by AOC as bad as Nancy Pelosi is, and who is, you know, a gentleman, which I don't frankly believe that Markey is.
I don't.
Do you think that, do you need to improve in that area? Do you get back to Malden and Medford and the Meadow Glen Mall, or even if it's still there, these places?
Well, the Twin Drive-In and the Meadow Glen Mall are part of our rich, you know, culture.
Steve, who did you vote for in the primary yesterday?
I voted for Rayla Campbell and Carol Coloroso.
Who'd you vote for the Senate, though?
For the Senate?
Yeah.
Who do you think? Kevin O'Connor.
Okay. Weren't Colarusso and Rayler are in different districts, aren't they?
You know, let me just think for a second. Oh, you know, you're right about that, Howie. I did not do any fraud on this, by the way. I held a sign.
Now you sound like Nancy Pelosi. Were you set up? I set you up by asking that question.
I held a sign for Rayla, who is not in my district, and I voted for Carol, who is in my district.
Okay. She's running against Catherine Clark. Okay. Thanks, Steve. 844-500-4242. We wanted to get Rayla on tonight. They're still counting the ballots. She told Grace that she thinks she's going to be okay, but she wants to get a better idea before she comes on and declares victory. Again, there were 3,200 outstanding ballots with write-in votes to be counted in that. It's not the 8th Congressional, as I said earlier. It's the 7th Congressional District, I guess. And she needs to get 2,000 votes out of those 3,200 ballots. And I'm not saying that they're going to throw out legit ballots, but sometimes, you know, you literally can't make out the writing. Someone makes it, or they write it in the wrong part. That's why we were telling people to get a sticker. If somebody's at the poll yesterday in that district with stickers for Rayla, just put the sticker on. It makes it less likely there's going to be anything that's going to go wrong. But we'll have her on as soon as she knows for sure that she has made the ballot, and she's very hopeful, and I think she's got a shot at making it too. But it won't be tonight that we know. 844-500-4242. Another thing Biden likes to talk about is starving. He keeps repeating the same words, starving and funding. Especially funding here. Cut 30.
But Trump refuses to act, starving schools of the needed funding, funding they need now. Now. They needed it beginning of the summer.
Starving, needed, funding, needed, needed, starved, funded, needing. Cut 35.
And back to school has always been a special time. It is in your families and mine, but particularly in mine, because for all the years Jill and I are married, she was going back to school too as a teacher.
Jill is a teacher? Let me just hear that.
And back to school has always been a special time. It is in your families and mine, but particularly in mine, because for
Cut 41.
Nothing this administration does is normal. And so I'm not being a facetious when I say that. So who in God's name knows what it's all about?
Who in God's name knows what the word officious is? Was it officious or a facetious?
He says he's not being a facetious. A facetious.
Not being a facetious. I am... Of course, I didn't graduate at the top of my class at the University of Syracuse Law School, so I wouldn't know what a word like officious means.
I don't think facetious is a noun either.
It's not a word. There's a word facetious, but there is not a word a facetious, I don't think.
No, but it sounded like he was using it as a noun. He's not being a facetious, as if that were a state of being.
Yeah, it's an adjective, and he was using it as a noun to get into the weeds where he knows not where he is. Of course, he doesn't know what state he's in. All right, we'll take a break and be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
One more quick campaign question. You raised $364.5 million, your campaign in the DNC last month, a record for a monthly haul, apparently. How are you going to spend it?
You want to go to dinner? No.
Under some circumstances, that would have been a moderately amusing answer. But, you know, I think when you raise that kind of dough, you have to say, we're going to take back this country, man. We're going to restore the American dream. You have to have some kind of, it's pablum, but you got to have it ready to go.
I mean, that was wittier than anything Charlie Baker has said as far as comebacks.
Yeah, that's right. Have we done the poll question today? The last hour? Did we do it?
Yes, we did.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, did we? Let's do it again.
Yeah, we'll do it again because it's a good poll question, I think, because they're both appalling individuals. Today's poll question is brought to you by Oxford Club. Start feeling secure about your life savings and investments today by watching Bill O'Reilly's Great American Wealth Project. Go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Whose press conferences are more insufferable, Joe Biden's or Charlie Baker's?
Insufferable in different ways, but I'm voting for Biden.
This is the only time you'll do that. 53%.
It is, absolutely.
53% say Biden's press conferences are worse.
All right. Okay, 617 says, you should have told that caller who criticized you that Markey is the guy you wanted to win because he's aligned himself with the far left, AOC, the Green New Deal, et cetera. Much easier for O'Connor to beat him than Kennedy. That's why Republicans unenrolled voted for Markey. Get it? Yeah, I could have said that, but that would have been telling the truth. I wanted to knock off the Kennedys. I mean, when you come right down to it, even though I didn't hate this kid, I'd had enough of his uncle, especially Teddy, and just all of them in general. I just wanted them to go away. It was I said earlier today, there's an old joke, you know, that the old married couple wakes up and the woman go on election day, and the wife goes, and so who do we hate today, dear? And you know what? That's the way I vote. I'm dear, you know? And I decided it was payback time. Payback time. Frank, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
I was just talking to my daughter, and she was saying that Kevin O'Connor there is a Charlie Parker Republican, and that she was, you know, got a...
Well, you know, Charlie Parker said yesterday that somebody asked him, who'd you vote for? And he kind of spit it out that he voted for O'Connor. And I must admit, Frank, I left that one on the cutting room floor last night because I thought it would mean more votes for Shiva if I played it. But he doesn't, it's pretty clear he doesn't like Kevin O'Connor either. He didn't even want to admit that. Can we find that cut, Taylor? We had it yesterday. We asked Baker. Did Shiva sound like he would have been a credible candidate from what those cuts I played for you, Frank?
I know what you're saying there, but guess what? I had a Shiva sign on my front lawn. The question is, you know, because he's pro-life, he was from the moment of conception.
Yeah.
I was wondering if Kevin O'Connor was pro-life or was he like Charlie Baker?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Do we have it here? Yeah, fine. Too long. We'll play it tomorrow. Thanks, Frank. Thanks for the call. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.